The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Now, recently on the show, we heard about a car made back in the late 1950s in Castle Blaney in County Monaghan called the Shamrock, which was a sleek two-door designed for the American market. And we discussed Ireland's connections with the auto industry, from the Ford assembly plant in Cork to Volkswagen Beetle production in Dublin. Of course, there was also the DeLorean, the glamorous gull-winged car that came out of Belfast in 1981. It raised the hopes of a city in the grip of violence that workers would have a job building a car that Northern Ireland could be proud of. Well, the car hit the headlines for sure, but not in the way anyone could have imagined. The project went down the tubes and the man behind the project, John DeLorean, was arrested on drug trafficking charges. As it happens, there is a plan afoot to have a major reunion of DeLorean staff, former executives, and of that standout car which features in popular culture in those Back to the Future movies.
Welcome to my latest experiment. This is a big one, the one I've been waiting for all my life.
Well, it's a DeLorean, right?
Share with me, Marty. All your questions will be answered. Roll tape.
Okay,
and we'll proceed.
Doc.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing on the parking lot at Twin Pines Mall. It's Saturday morning, October 26, 1985,
1:18 a.m.
And this is temporal experiment number one.
Come on, I need... Hey, boy, get in there.
Atta boy. Please note that Einstein's clock is in precise synchronization with my control watch.
Get that thing hooked up to the car.
Watch this.
And the DeLorean car heads off into the sunset. Well, joining me now from BBC Coventry is former DeLorean director Barry Wills, who is organising this reunion. Barry, very, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, John.
And before we get into the DeLorean and all that happened, tell me, what would you like to do with your life?
The rest of my life?
Yeah.
Well, I hope there's plenty of it. I'm 72 now, and what I'm doing, really, having worked so hard for most of it, I'm trying to catch up with all the things I didn't do. I'm doing a lot of walking. I plan to do theatre, cinema, dining out, you know, all the things that perhaps I didn't do enough of.
Do you feel regret, then, that you didn't do these things earlier?
I feel regret that I stopped doing them whilst I was beating my brains out for people like John DeLorean.
Mm-hmm. Take us back. When did you first meet him?
I was approached to meet John in early October 78, shortly after the investment had been made by the British government. I was asked over to Belfast. In fact, I met him three times. I twice turned down his offers of employment, to be honest, because I'd got a young family and I wasn't really happy about taking two young daughters out to Belfast at that time. Eventually, I accepted his offer. Part of the deal was that he allowed me to create a purchasing department in Coventry, which was midway between Belfast and where the engineering of the car was being undertaken at Lotus in Norfolk, in the east of England. Mm-hmm. I joined as director of purchasing.
Barry, when it comes to John DeLorean himself, what first impressions did you have of him?
An amazing man. The word charisma's perhaps overdone, but certainly he was charismatic. He was the most inspirational man I ever met in my 50 years in the auto industry, and much of that was spent overseas after my time with DeLorean, so I had quite a bit of experience.
He's just a very convincing, very persuasive man?
He was very persuasive. He had a solution for everything. The main problem we had with John was that once an idea was clear in his mind, it was effectively done. He wasn't a man for detail. It was left to the rest of us to implement his ideas. Whilst he went on to dream up his next scheme.
Mm. And we can actually hear now a clip of John DeLorean back in, I suppose, the late 70s, talking about the project, his projects.
The new products that we're working on, which are extremely exciting to me, are two. One is the ultimate car, which is about 85% completed at this point in time, and this is a mid-engine sports car that has a rather substantial 13-liter V12 in it. The aerodynamics were done by some of the top people The suspension and other components were done by an extremely fine engineer down in Texas. The second car that we're working on is quite different. And I've always had, as you know from the GTO days, the idea that the unfortunate part of the automobile business is that the young people who can know how to drive and who enjoy driving high-performance cars can't afford them. And so what we're trying to do here is turn that around. And so we're looking at an extremely lightweight car made entirely of structural composites, and we're hoping to sell this car somewhere well under $30,000.
There you have it, John DeLorean talking of not just about one car, but two cars, Barry. He was a man of great ambition.
He was. I thought I'd heard all John's interviews, but that was a new one to me, I must admit. I don't recognise either of those cars, unfortunately.
Right. Barry, tell me when you realised that the project was getting into difficulty.
Oh, well, it became fairly clear to me toward the end of 1981 when we were really at maximum production. John had lifted production in the middle of that year when demand, in fairness, looked phenomenal. The dealers in the USA were screaming for cars. Our US management team in California were passing that message through. There was a decision made to double production by bringing in a second shift, and that really was the start of the downfall. No sooner had we got to the stage of maximum production that America went into the worst winter in living memory. It was certainly the worst winter in industrial history within America. The industry stopped completely. No one was buying anything, particularly cars. The country went into a rapid recession, and because of the long lead time of getting cars from Northern Ireland to the USA and the stock that was created within that pipeline, really we just ran out of cash. And but towards the end of 81, that was becoming apparent. And early in the new year, there were moves taken that led to receivership in February of 82, when the company effectively was unable to pay its bills.
Was it a stroke of bad luck then that these things happened in the United States?
No, not entirely. I think John was overambitious with his volumes. He had a plan, encouraged by the British government, in fairness, to effectively privatise the company by floating it on the New York Stock Exchange. The doubling of production made the volume so good that it made a very, very attractive business plan. And unfortunately, the combination of that overambition with the business plan, I think, and the recession that came, the terrible winter that came, were the two major factors that led to the company's demise.
How many cars are made?
Up to the point of receivership, it was about 8,500. But Sir Kenneth Cork, who was the receiver appointed by the British government, was very, very positive about the company. He continued production for a while, and about another 500 were built. There was then a bit of a sweeping up exercise towards the end, and my number is 9,080, approximately. Nobody can be quite sure.
Yes, indeed. When did you realise things had gone south? I think you were listening one morning to the news.
Well, yeah. In fact, there had been various attempts to salvage the company during the summer of 82, during the receivership. And there was a stage in mid-October when things were looking good. Apparently, John DeLorean was raising the money. The receivers were very excited. The whole, what was left of the workforce were planning for rehiring people, for getting production up and running again. And suddenly, I got a phone call late one evening on the evening of the 19th of October 1982 from the receivers to say, Barry, tomorrow morning call the staff and the trade union representatives together I'm afraid you have to announce the closure and the liquidation of the company. I protested because I was given no explanation as to why. I basically went to bed wondering what on earth was happening. The following morning, my radio alarm woke me at the usual time of 6:30. BBC Radio 4 came on as I awoke, and the news headlines were that, almost ad verbatim, the controversial American car maker, John DeLorean, has been arrested in a hotel room in California, charged with drug trafficking. And well, the rest faded into obscurity because I was too busy waking up pretty quickly, attempting to get to grips with what I'd heard. My really only thought was, how the hell am I going to get that across to the people that I got to address in a couple of hours' time?
Oh, so how did you do it?
It was a strange situation. The people were in a state of daze, disbelief. In fact, I remember one of the shop stewards actually saying to me, or asking me the question, is it true? All I could say was, what you've heard on the radio, what you're seeing on television, is all I know. But the fact is, I'm afraid, guys, it's all over. There was a resignation, everybody was very courteous, and we walked off and got on with things.
Mm. How many people were employed in DeLorean at that stage?
At that stage, we were down to a few hundred. The maximum employment at the peak, which would have been towards the end of 1981, was about 2,500.
Mm. So difficult times. I'm looking back on it now. Is there a lot of nostalgia, Barry?
Oh, an enormous nostalgia. I think there's hardly a person amongst the former employees that doesn't regard that 4.5 years, or less than, for many, of course, as probably the most exciting time of their lives. Certainly, it was a learning process. It was a social experiment that nearly paid off in getting employees from both sides of the equation in Northern Ireland working together well, and beginning to socialise and so on, and wealth being created within what was a terrible area, of course, in terms of unemployment in those days.
Yes, it was a real beacon of hope at the time.
Yeah, it was.
And this reunion now, you're planning of staff, obviously, but you're also hoping to drag along plenty of DeLorean car owners.
Only in part. We got a party at the Culloden Hotel in just outside Belfast, over towards Bangor, on the Sunday evening, the 3rd of May next year. That is purely for former employees, and we're reaching out to those because there's still many that we haven't made contact with, we haven't been able to find, and hopefully this broadcast will assist that process. But yes, there are about 100 cars in the whole of Ireland, the island of Ireland, and we're hoping to get many of them to drive up to Belfast to parade around the Cultural Transport Museum on the afternoon of Sunday the 3rd, before the party takes place.
How many are actually in use to this day? Do you have any idea, Barry?
Well, yeah, astonishingly, I'm told by those that know that of the 9,000 or so that were produced, as many as 6,500 are still still on the roads of the world, from the west coast of America, right across Europe, the Middle East, into Australia, New Zealand, Japan. It's quite astonishing, considering that every car, other than about a dozen, were exported to United States and a few to Canada.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Barry, tell us about this extraordinary connection with County Carlow.
Yes. The connection with County Carlow comes from the fact that we needed to source the manufacturing of the stainless steel panels, of course. There were several potential suppliers around Europe that declined the opportunity to bid for that business because they thought it was impossible to make. There's a quality of or a feature of stainless steel that brings in what's called spring back, and some of the panels were of a shape, particularly the doors, that that it was felt that they couldn't be made. However, we found a German company called Leppler. In a place called Heilbronn, down by the Black Forest, that made an unpainted stainless steel rollover bar for the Porsche 911 Cabrio. Leppler were and still are one of the world's leading manufacturers of the dies that are used to stamp out body panels. They, in fact, led the manufacture of the dies from which the doors and the skin panels were to be made. Now, as far as the production of the panels themselves were concerned, it was vital to us to minimise the cost of shipping panels from the supplier to the plant in Dunmurry outside Belfast. And for a while, the most economical route appeared to be to appoint a supplier on the mainland of UK. Then Leppler introduced us to their small subsidiary in Carlow. They had expansion plans for it and asked if we might consider that company as a supplier if investment was made in a lineup of heavy presses that were needed that in fact the company didn't have at that stage. Ironically somewhat, the same Irish government which claimed to have rejected the car project after it went to Northern Ireland made a significant grant of around I think I'm told it's about £6 million from memory. The investment was made, the press line was installed, the contract was negotiated, and Carlow supplied all the stainless steel panels for the life of the DeLorean's production, and went on, in fact, to use those presses to supply many other European car manufacturers thereafter.
Interesting, an interesting Carlow connection there. Well, listen, Barry, thank you for joining us this morning.
Pleasure.
And good luck with your plans for the reunion. By the way, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Well, there's an email address that I think I'm told is going to be going up on your website.
All right, that's okay.
So I'd be very happy to hear from anybody, any former employees. And indeed, any employers of Leppler in Carlow, we'd be delighted to get a small group of people from that company. They played such a tremendous part in the whole exercise that it would be really good to see some people from that company.
Okay, Barry Wills, former DeLorean director, joining us this morning from Coventry. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.